You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Johnny, it's always dangerous to give a pastor a microphone. You know how that is. How many of you remember the Cosby Kids when you was growing up? If I sound a little bit like Bumuspermouth tonight, is that I had to do my favorite thing this week. I had to go to the dentist, and this whole side of my face, I feel like Bumuspermouth. Okay, so if I sound a little funny, that's what my wife told me. She said, "You gonna be able to sing tonight?" I said, "There are no wrongs at the rec room." I said, "There's no wrongs." I said, "That's the one thing I love about going to the rec room." And I said, "You're always appreciated. There's no wrongs, no matter what you do or don't do, is that you're always loved and you're always appreciated." Amen. Let's stand, if you would. Let's sing one more song here. Let's see, Jolene. Let's do "I Saw the Light." Number 32 on the list, if that means anything to anybody. All right, there we go. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, one more time. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I saw the light." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
All right, brother. I got a special friend here tonight who promised me he'd be here. Stand up, Kenny. Hey. First time Kenny and I met, he was at Turning Point. And then, like a lot of people that go through Turning Point, the next time I saw him, he was in my parole class. But you know what? Next time I saw him, he showed up at this church. Was it? And you are getting your Bachelor of Science?
Industrial Technology. You've already done it.
Already done it. Yeah, all right. Graduated from college. Got his degree. Thank you, Kenny. He promised me, he said, as soon as I get through with all that schooling, I'll be at the rec room. And I said, "Well, if you don't, Kenny, I'll jump all over you." And he's afraid of me. He's lightning striking. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Matthew chapter 13. Last week we talked about sowing some seed. We're going to talk about one more of those. In Matthew 30, we talked about the one last week from Mark. If you need a Bible, hold your hand up. Can't turn to Matthew 13 if you don't have a Bible. Now then, let me say this. If you do not have a Bible with you while you're here in Odessa, or if you do not have a Bible at all, let that Bible be the rec room's gift to you. We'd like you to have that. Somebody said one time in a conversation, said, you'd think we got manuals on cell phones, we got manuals on automobiles, we got manuals on motorcycles, we got manuals on TVs. Looked like somebody done a manual for life. Another fellow said they did. It's called the Bible. Not only it's a manual for living, it's a manual for dying. It covers it all. And so you keep that. Now, if you have one and you're going to turn that one back in at the end, if you would, put it on that back table. Now, don't leave it in your seat. Just put it on that back table and we can put them back together. Matthew chapter 13. And it says that Jesus in verse 24, it says another parable put he forth. And parables, if you remember, are not illustrations to teach somebody the truth. They actually hide a truth. He said, you need to be paying attention. Jesus was the only one in the Bible taught in parables. But you need to be paying attention, because some of us, and most of my life, I missed it. So Jesus wanted to know who is paying attention here. And he explained the first parable to them that had to do with a sower and sowing seed that fell on different ground. He didn't sow it on different ground, but it fell on different ground. And 75% of it did nothing. Those might be the best odds we've ever had. I doubt if it's doing that well now. With 75% of it. Then he gave him another parable, and this one is a unique one that, in fact, he gives three parables in a row here, but the disciples only ask about one. So let's start in that verse 24. Said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Well, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hast it tares? Tares are just artificial wheat. They're counterfeit wheat. They look alike until they head out, and then you can see the difference because of their color. But they're just counterfeits. We call them hypocrites, but they're counterfeits. And verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, the next two parables he gives was one of the mustard seed, and then the other was of the leaven in bread. All three of these are secretive. It's something that the natural eye could not see. The leaven put in the bread, you don't see it till the bread rises or doesn't rise. Same thing with sowing of the seed. It's got to come up. But notice here that here is a sower out in the field, sowing good seed in the field. While that night, while he's asleep, an enemy comes in and sows bad seed. imitation wheat, counterfeit wheat. When the blade appeared, when it began to bud out, then the workers knew that, hey, something's wrong. This is not right. This is not wheat. And the sower tells them what's happened. He said, an enemy's come at night. And so did. He said, well, you want us to jerk it out of there? You want us to get those tires out of there? He said, no. He said, because if you're not careful, you'll get some good ones with some bad ones. This will give you something about the love of God, that he would let the tires grow with his wheat before he would take a chance of one of the wheat being punished, being burned, being thrown into the barn and burned like he's going to do. Now then, so he said, then I'm going to gather my wheat into my barn. Now then, if you'll go down with me now to verse 37, we're going to see the explanation. In fact, verse 36 said, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. And he said unto them, now then, and here's the answers. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ, isn't it? He said, Jesus Christ is sowing seed to bring forth good wheat. Then he said, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. You know that not only is God the Father, but Satan's the Father. Satan's got children of the wicked one, it says here. He said, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Three things about the devil. And if you want to know about him, you can find it right here in this parable. Number one, he works at night. That's when he's out doing his job. A few years ago, my pastor called me in. And said, I want you to be a police chaplain. And I didn't want to do that because I was helping the prisoners. I thought, that's conflict interest. I said, our ministry is he said, you need to do this. And, so I said, okay. And so after we read a book, looked at some video, and then they said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to ride with a policeman. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm not interested in sitting down here at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a radar gun catching speeders. I was pretty well up on all that anyway. I knew how all that worked. So I thought, and I was only one of the chaplain in this, and no doubt at that time, I think we had 28 chaplains, didn't we, Johnny? Yeah. We were the second largest chaplaincy program in the nation. Sacramento, California was larger than us. But I thought, since I don't teach class, I don't pastor, I'm going to go down on Saturday night about 10 o'clock and ride with an officer. Oh, boy. The first night, I get one gung-ho young officer. I knew what he said, you got a flashlight? I said, flashlight? I thought, I guess the dome light in his car is out because I'm just going to sit and ride with him. He said, you're going to need a flashlight. Let me give you a flashlight. And he has me a flashlight that's a weapon. And he wants me to see everything that's going on. The first thing, I got embarrassed. We had cheers back then. Some of you remember that. Don't hold your hand up because you shouldn't. Okay. But Cheers was a local watering hole. He takes me into Cheers. And lo and behold, if somebody doesn't say, hey, Leland. He's a kid that used to be in my Sunday school class when I went to another church in there. Yeah. But, I mean, we got to be friends, and he was telling me this, and he was a big, tough, young guy and had all the energy in the world. But I knew we were getting too friendly when we got a call that they was having some problems over in the apartment house. And we pulled up there, and he jumped out, and he said, "You go that way, and I'll go this way." I said, "No. No, I'm not going that way. In fact, I may just sit in the car, right? Because I didn't want to get out there. But let me tell you one thing I learned real quickly. And I did that for about 12, 15 months. Odessa is a different town after 10 o'clock. And let me tell you this. Here's what I found out. Any place in Odessa, Texas that's opened after 10 o'clock ought to be closed. Nothing good happens out there after 10 o'clock, people. It's amazing about that. Satan works at night. That's why all bars look like it's night. They look like it's night at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not going to ask you who knows that. Yeah, I found out. See, I used to think that there was healing power in neons. Because I'd get up of a morning and say, "I'm never going to drink again." And when the neons would start coming on at night, my pain left. And I said, "Well, I guess I could go one more time." And here I am again. The Bible talks about this work of darkness. See, while men slept, that's at night. While men slept, Satan came and sowed. That's it. While Odessa sleeps, while Midland sleeps, while Dallas sleeps, whole lot of things going on that you don't want to know about. I got a real education about Odessa, Texas. It's a whole different town. Things went on that I just shake my head at and didn't know. And I thought I was pretty worldwide wise. I'd been in nearly every prison in West Texas. I've been in the hardcore prisons. I'd been in the federal prisons. I'd been in the easy ones and the middle ones and the hard ones. I didn't have a clue till I got out on the streets and found that things is going on that were not good. Satan works at night. Turn with me over in the book of John chapter. You familiar with this? John chapter 3. That we all know about, "For God so loved the world," but down in verse 19 it says this. It says, "This is the condemnation." Listen, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's why people love darkness. That's why bars, what things go on in the darkness. Ephesians 5 talks about the works of darkness. And Ephesians 6 speaks of the rulers of darkness. Darkness is always considered in a bad light in the Bible. Satan works at night. Number two, Satan works in secret. Look at Ephesians 5, if you would. And verse 11, he said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret." I've noticed that all fraternal orders claim some kind of relationship with God. He works in secret because he's producing counterfeits. Let me tell you, one of the reasons that in our day and age, especially, you need to learn the Word of God. I learned something when I started going in. In fact, the guy that did our printing, in fact, his widow still does her printing for Loops. He died with cancer. But he served time for counterfeiting. That made him a good printer, but not good enough. Obviously. But from working in that prison and with talking with Bruce, I learned something. You know that the treasury agents, the people that are sent out to spot counterfeiters, never study counterfeit bills? Never do. You know what they study? The real ones. They learn everything they can about a real $20 bill, $100 bill, whatever. They learn everything they can about it so that the moment they see a phony, they can tell it. Now, when I was a new Christian, I was buying books on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Catholics, on how to deal with all that. And Bruce, he just got through telling me what you need to do is learn everything you can about the Bible, and then you won't have any problem with any of them. You can spot them. You get the Word of God. See, the Bible keeps telling us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Study. And evidently God is going to be judging that because he said, show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, he's producing counterfeits. So he doesn't want anybody to see him, doesn't want anybody to watch him. Third thing about Satan is he impersonates real Christians. And some of you that's been using the excuse all your life about the hypocrites in the church, you might just be picking one that's lost. That may be one of the counterfeits. It would be interesting to know how many people in Odessa, Texas, that God looks down at and sees as Christian. Somebody told me a few weeks ago that we had over 200 churches in Odessa. Is that correct?
Yep.
Over 200 churches. I would venture to say that this coming Sunday morning, there's not 10,000 people sitting in a church. Now, if that's true, because Odessa's got 103,000, 104,000, 105,000. If there's not 10,000, that's 10%. Now think about how many of those churches that 80% of them in the church are not saved. And we may be, in our age and time, it's the good churches. You got anybody lost in your church, Brother Doug? I mean, don't call her name. Brother Johnny? Yeah. Yeah. Brother Johnny and I have discussed this a lot, but every Thursday here they have what they call the Joy Club, and it stands J-O-Y, just old youth. I'm going to start for long when I get older. But we talk about this some because, see, just because you get old doesn't make you a Christian. You can be old and lost as a goose. Doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you can say some religious words, just because you quote the Lord's Prayer. I can remember playing on a football team, and we'd all kneel down and say the Lord's Prayer and jump up to start outside. One guy said, let's knock hell out of him. We got a bunch of folks that just counterfeit. They're tires. Satan himself, he tried to imitate God. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is Satan. Son of morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan is an imitator. And he gets people to be imitators. And if they talk a little bit about God and they don't use a bunch of cuss words, then people say, aren't they nice? And we're going to go do this. We're going to help somebody. And every month at the parole office, we have orientation period. And all the parolees, and some of you have been there, all the parolees for that month come in. And there are different people in there. AA has a representative. Odessa College has a representative. We go in there. I go in and talk about the rec room. And I make this statement that if I could put you in the best Hummer in town and introduce you to the most beautiful woman or the greatest man you'd ever seen, could get you the best job in town, and didn't tell you how to get to heaven, I'd be your biggest enemy. And I said, the rec room, number one, the number one goal is tell people how to get to heaven. Hey, we want to help you get a job. And we got people that will do that for you. We want to help you. If you're having eye problems and need glasses, we want to help you. If you need dentures, we want to help you. If you need some transportation, we want to help you. If you need some additional education, we want to help you. We really do. But if we don't tell you about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven, the first time you get cast into hell, you say Leland Maples was the sorest guy on earth. I went to the rec room. They helped me get a job, but they didn't tell me about Jesus. Why am I here? That's our job. Our job, it's great if we can roof your house. It's great if we can get some folks to build you a driveway. It's great if we can help you pay for your trip to find out if you got cancer. Those things are great, and we've done a lot of those things, but none of them are as great as telling you how to get to heaven. Anybody that dies and goes to hell, and the Bible says this, they will be punished for that, but I will require their blood at your hands, and I don't want your blood on my hands. And I'm telling you, and this has got to be the first thing. Every church in America has got a bunch of unsaved people in it. They're the tares. They're the tares. But there's coming a day. Bible says, appointed unto men wants to die. But after this, the judgment. Remember what he said here? He said, also therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So it will be at the end of the world. He shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Life may not be serious to you, but it is to God Almighty. And He's calling shots, people. It may be just fun and games. But let me tell you, you better take it serious. Because you only get one chance at dying. Hey. You don't get do-overs. You say, hey, Lord, I didn't handle that very good. Can I die again? No, that ain't happening. And right after that, what do you say? The judgment. The judgment. And if America is not judged very harshly by God, somebody said this, I wished I had. But somebody said if God doesn't deal very harshly with America, He's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Because we are living in a culture that hates this book. And by the way, that's what the problem is. When our Supreme Court can sit in front of the Ten Commandments and declare having Ten Commandments in a local courthouse illegal, you got some real sharp folks. They hate this book. And anybody that, as we go along, and let me say this, you probably got one of the biggest hate messages there is right here in this book. You can turn to the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Turn there with me just for a moment. This is free. I didn't have this in the outline. Jesus is talking to a bunch of the tares. He's talking to those that's got their doctorate in religion. He is talking to the hyper-religious group. These are the folks that live a great life. And I'm for living a great life. You ought to. It just, life is better as a Christian. You don't have many bumps and bruises. Doesn't cost as much. But I want you to, in chapter 23, then said, first one said, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, and notice what he says. Down in verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. In verse 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 16, woe unto you, you blind guides. Verse 17, ye fools and blind. Number 19, ye fools and blind. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 24, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and... Hey, this is a Jesus. Well, God just loves everybody. Well, he's exhibiting that. Notice how he's talking to them. See, we've already had signed into law hate speech. And what he's doing right here is hate speech. Because within the next 2 years, some preacher in the Bible Belt is going to get up and call a queer, and he's going to jail. Because that's hate speech. Somebody's going to make some comments about killing babies, and he's going to go to jail. They're already having these problems in other parts of our world and also in parts of our country now. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. It's like turning the graveyard upside down. Seeing all it's what's under the grass. Verse 29, warn you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. That's pretty strong. And that's Christ speaking. That's the one who on Calvary said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. He came to die for us. And let me say this as lovingly as I can, as honest as I can. But any person who would reject Jesus' love on Calvary and the blood he shed deserves almighty hell. Just that simple. I want you to bow your head for a moment. Eyes closed and head bowed. We're just going to be here a few minutes. How is it in your heart? Are you tare? Are you wheat? Some of you know you're tare. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Tonight I'm going to ask you to do that. And I don't apologize for that. I want to ask you to do that. I want you to trust Him. I want you to think, how is it with you? We're going to pray in a moment. How do you want me to pray? Do you want to leave this building tonight saying, I'm God's child? I'm going to heaven. Nothing can stop that. I trust Christ tonight as my Savior. And then there's some of you that you're God's child. You're wheat. But you look like a tare and you know it. You're not living like you ought to live. And you know that. And you know God's not happy with it. I want you to come and make it right with them. Like Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Quit messing around with it. You're not going to find it in treatment. You're going to find it in conviction. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you're here. And we pray, Father, that those that need to trust you will do it right now. We don't know any more words to say. We just pray that right now that they'd come. If they don't know how to be saved, we'll have somebody here that can show them in the Bible. So, Father, we pray that this invitation is yours. If they're your children and nobody can tell it, then we pray that they'd come and get cleaned up for you. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand, head still bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet. On the very first verse, would you come? What a day that will be. Come on. Come on. Right now.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
Come on.
No more clouds in
what God wants you to do?
The sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Will it be a glorious day for you, or do you dread it? Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus, or you say, man, I don't want to do this?
When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day. Glorious day that will be.
As Jolene plays softly, no more singing, just one more verse of what a day that will be. You know you need to come. Would you do it? Would you say, Lord, I want to be saved tonight. I want to become your child. Would you come? We have people that can show you how to do that. Come on. I pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came. You know their hearts. You know the wheat tonight. You know the tares. We don't. That won't be revealed to us until that judgment day. But you know. And Father, help us to know that you know. There's no way we never con you. Now, Father, pray that any decision tonight made would be to go to your glory. And we know that everybody made a decision, either for you or against you. We do it every time, whether we walk down the front or not. We make decisions. We make commitments in our own heart to our own selves. and to you. So, Father, I pray that you just have your own way in each life here tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.